Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Here in full effect, and someone sent me a great reminder because of leap year. Christmas will not be on a Sunday for another 11 years. And so you don't have to worry about it for another 11 years. And so bring your family, bring your friends. Sunday is going to be a great Sunday at Living Way. And I promise you, we are going to be done in 60 seconds. You're going to get so much Holy Ghost, 60 minutes. You're going to get so much Holy Ghost. Some of you are like, yes. Some of you are going to get so much Holy Ghost in 60 minutes. It's going to literally change, not your Christmas, but your life. I believe in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, verse 2. And Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. Somebody say, boo. Yeah, we boo King Herod. He is the antagonist in our story. And magi from the east, that's the wise men from the east, came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one that is to be born or has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star. They said, we saw the light. We saw the star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. Can I just tell you the first revelation that just jumps off the page of this story is these are astrologers and astronomers, and they're not Holy Ghost-filled people. They're not people that know how to have church. And they said, we need to know where the king is because we've come to worship. That's how powerful the light is. If you ever get into the light, it will change and transform your life. Just for a few moments tonight, I want to preach on the message, follow the light. Follow the light. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, follow the light with everything that you have. You may be seated. Follow the light. Some children from a very young age, they have a phobia where they are scared of darkness. I remember when I was a kid, I would always tell my mom after she tucked me in, can you leave the hall light on? And she would say yes, and she would leave that hall light on, and then I would wake up in the middle of the night and the hall light was off. And me and her would have a come to Jesus meeting in the morning. You said you're going to leave it on. She's like, I did leave it on until you fell asleep. I said, I'm not scared. When I'm asleep, I'm scared. When I'm awake, when I wake up, I need that light on. But as I've grown older, I like the pitch black when I'm sleeping. I don't want anything to disrupt that REM sleep where you are deep in sleep, no lucid dreams, but you're getting all that rest and all of those things. However, in the kingdom of God, there's too many people sleeping. And they're sleeping because they have fallen in love with the darkness. Now, I don't want to preach on that tonight, but the Bible does say that everything that is done in the dark will come to light. And so I want to encourage you, if you're living crazy in the darkness, tonight is your night to come into the light of Jesus, ask for forgiveness, repent, turn your life around, and live in the light. But Jesus makes the statement in John chapter 8, verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This is not even a competition between Jesus and so-called other gods, little g gods. There is no competition between Jesus and Muhammad or Allah, because Muhammad is still dead. There is no, oh, come on now. There is no competition between Jesus and Buddha, because Buddha, at the end of his life, said, I still have not found truth, but I can point you to truth. How can you point me to a place that you haven't even found yourself? There is no competition, because while Buddha is saying, I haven't found truth, Jesus is standing there saying, I am the truth. I don't have to look for it. You don't have to look for it, because I'm standing right here in front of you. So there is no competition, but Jesus, to squelch any thought of competition, Jesus said, I am the light, T-H-E, meaning there is no other light. I am the only light. You are either reflecting the light, you are deflecting the light, or you've created a faux light, a fake light, a false, a counterfeit light. But I am here to tell you, as believers, we are not supposed to deflect the light. We are not supposed to create a false light. We are supposed to reflect the light of Jesus. That's why some of us, some people have been asking, when are we going to get new Living Way bumper stickers and decals for our car? I've been praying hard about that one, Living Way. Because I don't want some people knowing where you go to church. Because you're cussing people out in the parking lot. You're telling them they're number one on 410 as you drive home and they cut you off. You're arguing over parking spots. Say, when are we going to get new merch? There's some of you, we don't want you wearing our merch. We're going to buy some Cornerstone merch and let you wear their merch. Why? Because you're not acting like the light. We are not called to deflect the light. We are called to reflect the light. And for those that have received Jesus, we are reflectors of the light. And we need to be able to reflect that light without people looking at us cross-eyed saying, wait a minute, you go to church? You love Jesus? You serve God? Wait a minute, you're an usher down there at that church? You greet at that church? You're part of the dream team at that church? No, if we're going to reflect the light, we need to be able to reflect that light and hope to God that our life matches up, praise God, with the life of Christ. It's not a competition. We're not deflecting, not creating a false light, a faux light. We are reflecting the light of Christ. Jesus did not say, I have the light. Jesus did not say, I carry the light. Jesus did not say, follow me and I will show you the light. He made the short and concise statement, I am the light. When you're in darkness, it's not that hard to find light. If they were to kill every light in this room and only one candle was lit, you would not have to look very, very hard for the bright candle, as small as it may be. And why is it that we fight so hard to be drawn to the light when all of creation was created? When you're in dark, move towards the light. Even a moth knows in a dark place, show me the light. Even a mosquito knows on your back porch, you get a bright light, that's where I'm going. Why does creation have it, but we don't? Why do the animals know, but we don't? I'm encouraging you tonight, church. Go towards the light. Live in the light. Reflect the light. Receive the light of Jesus Christ. Which takes us back to our initial text, Matthew chapter 2. But let us go to verse 1. And Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. During the time of King Herod, wise men, magi from the east came to Jerusalem. And they asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? When we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. One of the things that I want to pick out of this initial text is they are talking and asking a king, little K, where the king, big K, has been born. Don't you know that Herod was seething when these rich men from the east came in on camels with frankincense, myrrh, and gold? Don't you know the gatekeeper had beat the wise men to Herod and said, King, there's some really important VIPs that have just shown up. And can I tell you, they've got extra camels with gifts. I think they've come to worship you. They said they came looking for a king. They're coming. Don't you know Herod was mad when he said, here I am. And they said, no, we're not here for this king. There's another king that has been born. Can I just remind everyone in the room and online tonight, you used to worship another king. You used to follow another king. We used to be concerned with another king. Isn't it amazing that everybody who does something great in their profession, we label them king. We labeled Michael Jackson the king of pop. We labeled Elvis Presley the king of rock and roll. We labeled LeBron the king of basketball. But I am here to tell you, you get to the point where those kings don't do too much for you and you start looking for the real thing. These wise men traveled for at least 2 years looking for the king, not a king. If your life ain't working, change kings. If your life ain't working, change kingdoms. If your life is not working, you're following a fake light. You're following a cigarette lighter. You're following a Yankee candle. Even for some of you, you're following that Bath and Body Works candle. And although you're following something that smells good, you're following something that makes you feel good, but when you come into contact with the King of Kings that was born in a manger, it is not a king that's going to make you feel good. It is a king that is going to show you God and change and transform your life. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm following the light. Said, we saw his star when it arose and have come to worship him. The number one point I want to make to you tonight, if you're taking notes, is the light will lead the way. The light will lead the way. The light will show you where to go. The light will give you direction. When we say the light, we're talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will give you direction. I believe in your prayer time, you should be praying things like, God, show me where you want me to go, what you want me to do. Show me what you want me to say when I get there. He will give you direction. The older I get, the more annoyed I am when people tell me that they are just going to try to find themselves. You will never find yourself until you find him. Talk to these youth. I've been talking to these youth now for almost 20 years. What are you doing after high school? Well, I'm just going to take a year to find myself. Everybody under the age of 18, raise your hand real quick. Everybody under the age of 18, you need to start finding yourself before 18. 18 is not when you start finding yourself. That's like saying, I'm going to learn how to be a good husband or good wife after I get married. No, you need to be a man of God before. You need to be a woman of God before. Well, I'm just going to figure out how to parent along the way. No, you need to get under the umbrella, under the covering of some people that have raised Holy Ghost filled, Jesus following, light filled, light reflecting believers. I am here to tell you, quit trying to find yourself and make the next 12 and a half months about finding Jesus or finding more of Jesus and watch him lead. Lead your life in such a way that transforms everything. The light will lead the way. I'm just trying to figure out what to do. Get close to the light. Let him illuminate his plan in your life. Well, he won't tell me everything. It's just kind of what, listen, he didn't tell Abraham either. He just said, Abraham, I'm going to make sure that at the end of this process, you're a lot better off than at the beginning of this process. And if I told you everything, it wouldn't take faith. So if you're going to follow the light, it's going to take faith. Because get this, when you follow the light, he's going to take you through some dark places. But you're going to have the light. He's going to take you through some uncomfortable places, but you're going to have the light. Somebody in here today, you were so excited when they made these cell phones that you could turn on that flash because you always got a flashlight with you. And when you go in the garage at night and when you got to go in the backyard at night, you don't feel as scared or fearful because you have a light with you. Can I encourage you? You have the greatest light in the world in you, on you, around you, illuminating your life. The light will lead the way. Number two, the light will cause you to worship. I've already talked about these wise men. These are not church-going men. These are men that have based their entire life off of astronomy, astrology, off of signs, off of the zodiac. They are men that are obsessed with science, but here they are, and they're taking a journey of faith. Come on now. Isn't it amazing that their journey of faith, that God meets them with what they follow. He says, you like astrology? I'll show you a star. But I'll show you a star that's never been there before. I'll show you a star that doesn't just exist. it moves. Why? Because the light doesn't want you to stay like you are. The light wants to move the needle in your life and move you to a new place, doing a new thing, becoming. And so I want to encourage you. You say, how is God ever going to get through to my ex-husband? He's going to meet him where he's at. He's going to talk to him where he's at. And you just need to keep shining the light of Jesus Christ and illuminating him and allowing him to fall in love with the light. I fell in love with the light of God. And when you fall in love with the light, it's going to help you make better decisions because you no longer love the darkness because of what you're doing in the darkness. You love the light because you are a worshiper and an intercessor and a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. The light caused these men to worship. Where is this king? We saw the star. We saw the light when it rose, and we have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. When you found the light of Jesus, the people closest to you were disturbed. Some of you had best friends, BFFs, forever. You didn't know that was just going to be 2.5 years. Because when you found Jesus, they didn't find him like you found him. Some people have already, you've been fighting with family because you're coming to church on Sunday morning. And they wanted to do brunch. You got 364 days of the year you can do brunch. Or move brunch to lunch and I'm there. Move brunch to dinner and I'm there. They're disturbed that you have fallen in love with the light so much. I've got people that have asked me, you really give 10% of your income? What they're saying is you have become infatuated with the light. You know, people have come in here and they've mocked you because of your worship. What they're really saying is, oh, we like the light too. We like the lights on the tree. We like to put the lights on our house, but we also like to put them in tubs and put them in our garage for the rest of the year. But as for me and my house, we have fallen in love with a light that is Jesus Christ, and it's not a tree light and it's not a house light. He has lit up our life and we worship, but they were disturbed, and all of Jerusalem was disturbed with the king because they knew the real king had been born. Verse 4, and when he had called together all the peoples, chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. King Herod calls for all of the Jewish leaders. He says, what does prophecy say? Verse 5, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report back to me, so that I may go and worship him too. He sets the plan in motion to extinguish Jesus the king so that his kingdom, Herod's kingdom, could stand forever. There is always going to be darkness that is trying to extinguish the light. But I am here to tell you, it has been proven. It doesn't matter how dark it gets, it never consumes the light. It doesn't matter how dark your life is, it can never take over the light. The light will always illuminate. The light will always show the way. The light will always give a reason to worship. You might be in the darkest valley of your life, but the light is leading you. And because you have light, you can worship your way to the mountain. But I am here to tell somebody, quit worrying about the Herods in your life that are trying to extinguish the light. Because number one, the light will lead you. Number two, the light will cause you to worship. But number three, the light cannot be extinguished. And as long as the light shines, I shine, you shine. As long as the light lives, you live, and I live. It's not my job to make sure that the light doesn't go out, because the light tried to go out, and for 3 days it was dim. But after he got out of the grave, the light has been burning. It's burning hotter than the Olympic torch. It's burning brighter than any comet or shooting star you have ever seen. And from here through eternity, that light will never go out again. I am encouraging you. I'm begging you, fall in love with a light that cannot be turned out. In our pre-service prayer, as our custom is, ask for prayer requests. And there was one or two prayer requests. And I just said from the back of the room, pray for ERCOT that our power grid does not fail this time. And everyone kind of laughed. I'm not laughing, y'all. I pay too much for my electricity for it not to work when I need it. And even though your boy's fluffy, he ain't built for 14 degrees. All these lights, someone has the power right down the road, right up the road to flip a switch and put us all in darkness. For those of you that are in love with let's all move to electric cars, we're going to find out how good the electric cars are in Texas the next 4 days. You realize that China, where they're making those electric cars, one day when they're ready to go to war with us, they're just going to flip a switch. All those cars are going to stop because they've got the power to flip a switch. They don't have a power to flip the switch on this light. They've been trying for 2,000 years. Herod killed every baby under 2 years of age, and Jesus still shone bright. For 33 years, he shined in a physical body. For the last 2,000 years, he's been shining in heaven. In heaven, there is no light because he is the light. Man, I can't wait till I see my chandelier in heaven. There are no chandeliers in heaven. It's all lit because Jesus is the light. Come on, we talk about streets of gold. I can't wait to see the light of Christ shining in a physical way. There is no more darkness. And remember this tonight when you look up at the moon sings the praises of the sun. Because the moon reminds us, even though it's dark here, the sun is shining somewhere. And tomorrow at 6:45 a.m., the sun and light will shine again here today. And so in my final minute and a half, I want to encourage you. It might be dark in your life. You might be coming through the darkest season of your life. But I'm here to reflect the light and tell you, it might not be shining on you today, but 6:45 a.m. is coming. And weeping might endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning light. Stand on your feet. This light cannot be extinguished. After they heard the king, they went on their way. The wise men did, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Someone asked me after Sunday, they said, you've always talked about the wise men not being at the nativity scene. They said, is that something you can prove in the Bible? I said, yes, it is. And I took them to this very verse right here, verse 10. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house where they saw the child with his mother Mary. The other proof is that Herod killed every child under the age of 2 years old. If the wise men were there, Herod would have had all the babies killed that were a week old or less. Jesus is toddling around in the house. Mary's with him, and these wise men have followed the light. Now they worship in the presence of Jesus. And the Bible says that they went home a different way. The light will always cause you to live different. That's why church attendance is important. That's why accountability is important. But it's not any more important than having a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Because when you have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, you can't live like hell. You can't go bumping the clubs on Friday and Saturday and come in here on Sunday and talk about how light it is. Light is not a convenience. Light is a necessity. And some of us are liking the light on Sunday. We want the light when we need something, but we live in the darkness. Light is not a convenience. It's a necessity. Jesus said this, Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount. The two greatest things about the Sermon on the Mount, the two greatest sermons to me are the Sermon on the Mount, the time that Peter preached at Cornelius' house. The Sermon on the Mount tells us how to live life, that we have to do it with Jesus, to have all of these beatitudes that operate. Then, of course, Peter talks about the abundant life because he's talking about the Holy Ghost and it fills everyone in the house. 3,000 souls saved to fill the Holy Ghost that moment. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, 15, and 16, Jesus says this. Remember in John 8, Jesus said what? I am the light of the world. But in Matthew 5, what does he say? You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do you light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but instead you put it on a lampstand that it can give light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they will see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. I know that's not their translation. I just quoted you, I give you Jesus, circa 2003. It's still in my brain. That's our passion play from 20 years ago. Jesus said this, I'm the light, and if you follow me, you're the light. You're reflecting the light. So on this service, our candlelight service, I know most churches, they just light some candles, sing some songs, and that's it. And that's great. We're not most churches. So I say, God, what are we sharing this night? He says, I want you to share with them. This is why you can't depend on these lights. Look at this. Look at this. Sometimes you need somebody to come. Oh, there you go. Light them up for me. Man, I like it when the illustrations don't work. This is why you can't depend on fake lights. Fake lights will let you down. Fake lights will embarrass you in front of 1,000 people on a Wednesday night. Fake lights. Somebody's going to tell me after service, Pastor Brandon, we checked it and it worked. And my response is going to be, but it didn't work when we needed it to work. That's what fake lights do. They work when you don't need them. But when you need them, they don't work. And you got to call somebody in that has the real light to light the candle. I'll preach it all day long, y'all. You find the light, you get lit, that means something totally different than it used to for you. You find the light, you get lit, and then for the rest of your life, you don't hide it. You not only show it, hey, I've got what you need, hey. If you're hurting, I've got healing for you. If you're tired of the darkness, I've got light. If you're sick, I've got something that will make you well. If you're lost, I've got the thing that's going to save you and help you. And for the rest of our life, we put it on a stand. There's a reason why we have lights in our ceilings and not in our floors. Got to get the light up. There's so many of us tonight that we get on fire for Jesus. The light burns tough, it burns hot, it burns bright. Then by February, it's starting to wane a little bit. Or maybe like that first clicker, it's not working. That's why I got to pray every day. That's why I got to talk to Jesus every day, worship him every day. That's why I got to be here every Sunday, every Wednesday, men's night, women's night. You got why? Because that fire. That's why I encourage 18 and unders tonight. Don't start looking for the light at 18. That's why it's important. Bring them to Catalyst Kids. Bring them to Catalyst Youth. Bring them to Sunday school. Make sure they're here because we're trying to light something in them that will never go out. I want to encourage people in the room today. Maybe your light has gone out because it was a fake light. Maybe when Jesus tried to shine his light in you, instead of receiving to reflect, you deflected him at every turn. I don't know why, and I don't know what it brings you to this decision today. But if you want your Christmas to really mean something tonight, I want you to leave your seat and I want you to join us in this altar. If maybe you've been going through the motions, or maybe you're getting ready to do something great and you're saying, the light I have, God, I want to make sure it's from you. I want to make sure it's for you. I want to make sure that I've got enough oil in my lamp. I want to make sure, God, that I've got so much light that it's leading me the right way. That there's so much light in me, God, that it changes my worship. And God, that I leave this place tonight with a light that cannot be extinguished, that cannot be flipped off, cannot be turned off. God, I want, God, the light of Jesus to burn in me so that I can show the world. Some of you are going to sit down at a table with family members that need the light of Jesus. They don't need a five-step program to get sober. They've already been through rehab a dozen times and it hasn't worked. They don't need five steps to get rich. They've had money and it did not fill that void. It's a false light. But I believe that as you receive the light tonight, as the light that was in a manger becomes activated in your life and on the manger of your heart, that you'll be able to live the light, shout about the light, shine bright the light, so that everyone in your house, so that everyone in your life, so that everyone on your job knows in the darkest of moments, I know somebody that lives in the light. If you're in this altar tonight, man, this is one of those altar calls that when I'm putting the message together, God, what do you want me to say? God will give me a direction, but this is one of those Holy Spirit altar calls. Because there's so many people in this altar tonight that you've been drawn by the light, not by the word that I said, but by the word that came straight from the throne room for you tonight. God bless you, Michael. God bless you, Jessica. Baby Sophia's family, God bless you. Your light, your light, your light, your light. I'm going to ask our pastoral team to very quickly move through this group. And let me back up. You don't have to do it quickly, because God might give you a specific word for somebody, but let's go through, and I say quickly because there's a lot of people to pray for, and I want us to lay hands on everyone in this altar, and then we're all going to light our candles as just a sign and a symbol that we have received the light of Christ. That we, like the wise men, it has changed our life. We have been looking for years, and we found it tonight. The light has led us to the King that is Jesus. The light has caused us to worship tonight. We found a light that cannot be extinguished, and we have found our purpose, which is to magnify the light. Jesus, as we pray tonight, I pray that you would illuminate yourself in their lives. God, as they have their hands uplifted in this altar, as they are holding, God, some of them a candle, more importantly than the candle in their hand, light God, the candle that you are in their life. Though the king of this world may come to extinguish and to turn off the flame, God, I pray, much like Jesus waxed strong and grew and mature, let your life in them grow. Until Jesus formed in you, the writer said, Jesus be formed in them. Jesus grow in them. Jesus let your word mature in them. Jesus let your spirit grow in them, God.